Hello guys, good day and welcome to another episode of Podcast Friday's Talk with Lois. So today we're going to be discussing something quite juicy, quite intense, and definitely I am not going to be talking about it alone. I'm just going to introduce the person that I'm on here with because he decided to abandon all his titles to go with gospel enthusiast. And I wanted to say all the way from Abuja, Nigeria, but then again, he said Canada in the name of Jesus. So, guys, I'm just gonna say the person I'm talking about this with is Busayo. Hi, Busayo.
How are you?
I'm doing good. And how are you doing?
I'm very well too, thank God.
Okay, that is great. So guys, a quick one. I know the reason why I decided to bring Busayo over to talk about this is because I see the things he posts on Twitter. So don't think people do not look at your social media posts and all of that. I see the things he posts and he puts up on Twitter, and I'm like, I thought about the topic and I was like, who is the best person to talk about this with me? And then my mind came to him. So I think I'm in safe hands for now. So Busayo, I've done a lot of talking. So I'm going to be going over to you right now that you are going to be doing the talking, okay?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, you're ready. That's nice. Our topic for today is going to be in a relative world. In a relative world. So when the word relativity comes to mind, basically dictionary meaning is doctrine that knowledge, truth, and morality exist in relation to culture, society, or historical context, and they are no absolutes. So what do you think about that?
It's as a Christian or as a believer, it, you know, kind of contradicts, you know, that philosophy or that ideology. So when you say something is relative, it's subject to like doubt, subject to falsehood, is subject to, you know, it's subject to something. It just shows me like, or what it portrays to me is just the imbalance. So with all of that, it, you know, contradict what the Bible teaches and what the gospel stands for.
I was looking at it and like this definition, and it's mind-blowing basically, because it says knowledge, truth, and morality exist in relation to culture, and then I got to the part where it said culture, society, and I stopped there. You know, a lot of people talk about society in abstract, like society is some sort of world or some sort of planet on its own, but then people fail to understand that society is me and you. Society is man and woman. You get, so saying relativity in its own, it's like subject to human feelings basically. So I think it's kind of crazy. So how do you think this happens for us in the 21st century?
In the 21st century,
I'm gonna cut you there a little bit to just add that when people say, or when the definition said there are no absolutes, the key things people look out for in terms of absolutes range from evil, justice, love, and forgiveness. I got that from Ravi Zachariah. He's dead now, of blessed memory. So evil, justice, love, and forgiveness. So I want you to talk about this, how relativity has worked for us in the 21st century within those four contexts: evil, justice, love, forgiveness.
Okay, so evil, justice, love, and forgiveness.
Yep.
So, well, in the context of relativity or relativity, it is something that has been, how would I put it? I think I should dissect it one after the other.
So, feel free.
Yeah. So what it is that you know, it says, you know, it is in relation to culture and, you know, to people. So evil itself, bringing it back to the Bible, drawing it like a distinction to what the Bible teaches, is that, you know, God created man with free will. So whatever you want to do, whatever you want to think, whatever you want to, God is not going to superimpose, you know, his thought or his sovereignty on humans or on people. So it is actually people who think about evil or who do evil to one another. And this is what really happened, or the root cause of all of this, you know, love, forgiveness, justice, and evil. The root cause of all of this is sin. So when sin, God created, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, God created a perfect world and all of that. So, but the sin came into the world, you know, it caused an interrupting all of this, it caused an interrupting, you know, every single thing God created. So these things you talk about, you know, if you check the, if you read like the account of, you know, what happened to Adam and Eve, you'll see that what devil or what Satan, you know, gave to Eve was just a concept, was just an idea, was just a philosophy, or was just and the thing was that, oh, did God see you? You surely, okay, I think it's best if I can just bring that scripture out, so where you see the difference between what God said and what the devil said. Let me just try to bring it out in a minute. So sorry about that.
Oh, that's fine.
All right, so I'm sorry, I didn't put this in my account. I just felt it needed to come.
That's fine. Do all the clarification there is to do.
Yeah. So, okay, let me just go ahead. Let me just give like a full picture of the story. So God said, you know, the very time you eat of this fruit, of the tree of this fruit, you're going to die. So Satan came and, you know, tempted Eve. He said, you know, God does not want you to understand the difference between good and evil. Good and evil. So it says if you eat of those things, you'll become like gods and everything. So that philosophy was what enticed Eve, and, you know, she ate of everything. So what brought all of these things, what brought this whole concept, this ideology, this that was the fact that sin came into the world. And when sin came into the world, it interrupted everything. So it no longer became, or it no longer was the perfect, you know, picture God wanted it to be. So, why all of this was happening, and, you know, God had the Joker and everything, and, you know, His Son Jesus Christ came to die for the whole world and all of that, and we all know the story. You know, Christ died, He was buried and resurrected. But yes, it's the truth, or the absolute truth. Now, in contrast to what relativity is that Christ died, was buried, and resurrected. And this is the truth about all of this. And this is the truth. You see what is happening in the whole world right now. You see Black Lives Matter, you know, feminism, you know, inequality, you know, justice, love. We want to do this, we want to do that. You know, there's just like so many imbalances in the world. But the truth remains that this is what the Bible says about this. This is what God is saying about it. The truth is that, the message of the truth is the gospel, you know. So the root cause of all of these things that we are seeing, of evil, you know, forgiveness, justice, you know, it's not just a human philosophy. It's not just an ideology by we humans. It's not just something we can just, you know, say this is how we want to do it. Man was created by a supreme being. So acknowledging that supreme being nullifies the fact that, you know, we have to accept what relativity is. So it's they are just two separate ends that cannot meet. So that's just what I would say to that, because as I said, the root cause of everything is sin. So sin brought in evil, sin brought in injustice, sin brought, you know, hatred, sin brought so many things. So that's the root cause. So if you try to like say, oh, we talk about this one from this perspective, we talk about this one from this perspective, you know, it's kind of going to, it's not dealing with the root cause. So the root cause is that sin came to the world, and that's the truth of the whole matter. So it contradicts what relativity is, and in totality, in all of it. So it contradicts, they are just two separate things that cannot meet when it comes to relating it with the Bible. But if you want to relate it, at, you know, by social standards and everything, of course you always see. But when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the message of the gospel, they are both, they are not, you know, on both sides, or they are not on both ends.
Okay, so if I'm getting you clearly, you're trying to say that the themes of evil, justice, love, and forgiveness, with the question, how has relativity been working for us in the 21st century? These things basically are not working right, because the root cause of the whole chaotic disorder that we are currently living in is sin. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, that sin is the problem. So man, or God gave man Jesus Christ as the only truth, as the absolute truth, you know. And the Bible says, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life and everything. So the restoration, or what God was trying to do, is just to restore man to the default place, to the absolute place he has created it to be. So in this 21st century, we are no longer dealing with spirit beings in quotes, you know, like you read stories of strange things happening or weird things happening in, you know, other centuries. You know, you see people do supernatural things. But in this current age, we are dealing with all our greatest battles is coming from the place of ideologies, is coming from the place of philosophy, and all of these, you know, we want to do this, we want to do that, we bring this ideology, we bring. So once it contradicts what the Bible, or what contradicts what God has planned for it, it becomes like a stumbling block. So there's like no way for it to pass. You just try to push things where it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Why? Because the root cause, there's a problem with the root. So only by accepting what God has, the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice God has made, that is the only way we can get out of this. But the moment we're trying to buy into ideologies of the 21st century, we're trying to do this, trying to make, you know, with sense or with logic, you know, what, or human reason to say. So it's we just keep backfiring. The holy thing, the goal, or the perfect solution, the absolute of this is man should receive the perfect sacrifice that was made for him to restore him back to
you've mentioned ideologies a lot, and looking at the word relativity, I would like to say the things that revolve around it would be perspective, would be understanding. So at what point do we say that good is good, bad is bad, not maybe good or maybe bad? Because the current world we're living in today, like I said, it's a relative world. And you might want to do something to someone, and someone else is saying it's bad, but you think it's okay. And then you see people that, okay, let me just be practical here. You see people that love, let's say, women. I think there was a story that came up one time on Instagram that someone was saying, a popular celebrity was saying his woman stuck through teen and teen with him. I think he was cheating, all the things, all the negative things that he did. And so, you know, the whole wife material glorification. And then to that man, that is love to him. But to someone else, that's not love, you know. And then in terms of justice, some overly religious people can say people that, you know, rape or abuse or, you know, that sort should go to jail. Other people will say forgive, you know, in terms of justice. So basically what I'm trying to say here is, at what point do we call something, or can we be able to say this is good and it is good? At what point can we be able to say this is bad and it is bad, not maybe good, maybe bad? Do you get my point?
Okay, yeah. All right. So the challenge of what you just asked is people believe in different things. So I'm coming from the perspective of the Bible. If someone from another religion would come, you know, will be given this opportunity to talk, you know, also speak from another perspective or from another, you know, point of view. So when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to our faith, so there is a template to what things should be, or their template, or there's a standard of operation for a believer that God is saying, or the word of God is saying, this is the way it has to be. So let's use that scenario as an example. If you would put it in context of me and someone of probably another faith or another religion or what have you, they'll probably give you two different answers, or will probably give you two different answers. Why? Because what we use as manual, what we use as a standard of operation, is quite different. So you are definitely automatically you get different responses. So it's very difficult to draw a line to say this is what good is and this is what bad is. But as a believer, there is a template to what good is and there's a template to what bad is. So it is now you understanding, or you giving yourself to study to understand what is really good and what is really bad. So I saw the story about, you know, many people say, oh, this one suffer head, oh, I cannot do this kind of thing, I cannot do that. So it just depends on, firstly, I would say, the both parties involved. And it shouldn't also be to say, oh, this is how it should be, or this is how I would not, you know, overly enforce that on people. But when it comes to what the Word of God is saying, particularly about this, so of course I have to take my stance here because this is what I believe in, but in general I cannot say this is what it is or this is what it should be. So drawing a line at that point would be very, very difficult.
Okay, yeah, that's perfect. So my last question to you is going to be a little bit very practical.
All right.
This is going to be practical, this is going to be sensitive. Mm-hmm. Basically,
yeah.
So recently, in the world today, we see a lot of people coming out with like different sexualities. Mm-hmm. You know, they come out and all of that, and that's okay. But this is me thinking as a Christian.
Yeah.
Say you as a Christian, you are put in a position of authority. Mm-hmm. Say maybe the president of America, the president of anywhere, basically. Mm-hmm. And then you are asked to enforce a bill, or, you know, show support for the queer community.
Yeah.
Would you do it? Okay. Because that's the question.
All right.
Because I was going through Twitter, and sometime too, I also gave my opinion on it, that with the way it's looking, you know, it's almost like queer people can come out to say, okay, this is my sexuality, you know, and all of that. Mm-hmm. But then when straight people come out to talk, it starts looking like we're homophobes. Mm-hmm. And people are meticulous about, straight people are meticulous about, you know, having these conversations because nobody wants to be seen as that.
Yeah.
And now my problem that, you know, doesn't really sit well with me is that I think we are going to eventually, or we are drawing close to that point. Mm-hmm. Where we as Christians will not be able to express our religion. Mm-hmm. Basically, or our faith or our way of life, simply because it goes against other people's beliefs. Mm-hmm. You know, going against does not mean anybody's harming anybody, or, you know, being physically violent.
Yeah.
But going against in terms of the emotional consequences, permit me if I can use that word. So what is your take on that? Tomorrow, if you are put in a position of authority, I'm putting you on the spot right now.
Right.
If you are put in a position of authority, and then you're asked to show support, or you're asked to sign one bill, or you're asked to do something, and you know, in favor of this community, because it's actually going to get to that point.
Yeah.
You know, because God is definitely going to put Christians of authority, Christians of influence. We see people like Joseph of Arimathea, you know, all the powerful people in the Bible that were Christians that could, you know, overturn decisions basically and take important decisions. So definitely it is going to happen in our world today. So I'm just saying, practicalizing it now, I'm bringing it to you.
All right.
If you are put in that place, that hot seat, that hot spot where you have to make a decision, you know, at that point in time, people are going to be looking at you like you are coming, your personality should be, you know, mixed or should be tried to balance with the office that you are trying to handle. What are you going to do?
All right. So, this is a very funny question.
Very funny.
It's actually very simple to answer, but I want to ask you a question.
Oh, now you're asking a question with a question.
No, I'll respond, of course.
Okay. So, I'm listening. But if your question is going to bother what I'm going to ask, you're going to have to answer me first though.
I'll answer you, don't worry. I'll answer.
Okay.
So the thing is, when you I think the problem we have, first of all, okay, let me just answer it. The problem we have first of all is picking out sin. So if someone says, oh, I'm gay, or I'm whatever, I'm they, or I'm she, or I'm he, or whatever, the person has identified that this is who I am. So and another person comes out to say, I'm a fornicator, I'm an adulterer, I would not say, because I don't like being gay, then I embrace adultery. No. So what we do is we pick this kind of sin we want or we don't want. So we go against what we don't want. So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things have passed away and all things have become new, and everything, you know, that God was reconciling the world and no longer counting people's sin and everything. If I'm in that place of authority or that place of that hot seat, so what I'll have to do is to hold on to my faith, but to make people understand that this is where I stand. I can never violate people or human rights or whatever they want to do. Or I cannot say because I hate, I don't, this is something I hate, then, you know, I hate the people involved. No, you know, Jesus Christ himself was called a wine bibber. You know, that's like a drunkard. Why? Because he was sitting with alcoholics and everything. So people would like to drink and all of that, you know, called him, you know, a friend of the prostitute. Why? Because, you know, he saved the prostitute and everything. If I know that the goal or what God wants is to save these people, this is a strong message to help them come into the light of what I understand. So the thing is, the Bible says, or the message or the perspective of the, or the truth about the gospel is that we embrace the people, but don't embrace the sin.
Loving the sinner but hating the sin.
This is where coming out for your faith, you know, you can, the Bible says, be not conformed by to this world, or be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's a thing of staying with what you know, loving people as they are, because it gets to a point in time, or as we grow as Christians, you get to understand that, man, all of these things, you know, that we're trying to castigate people for, you know, if we can just come down and see people exactly the way God sees them and wants them to be, I don't think the world will be I hate these people, I don't like these people. No, the world will be, I hate this thing, but I love these people. So you help people come into the light or the understanding of what you know, and how they should go about it. So, but I get the pressure of, you know, people trying to enforce what they think.
That's there.
Yeah, that's it will always be there. It will always be there. The pressure will always be there. But what do we do? We're in charge, or we're not in charge of what people do to us, but we are fully in charge of how we respond to people. So the problem is not the people. The problem is how we actually
respond.
So if anybody wants to, if anybody comes out today and says, this is who I am, who am I? Am I the one to pick anybody's sin? How? Why would I want to pick anyone? So it's not in my duty. My duty as a believer is to love you and make you come into the understanding of what Christ has done for you. God is no longer counting people's sin. If God is no longer counting people's sin, who am I to count your sin? The goal is, and the other verse of that, 2 Corinthians 5 says, you know, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Someone who has the ministry of reconciliation reconciles people to God. This is what we are. So you stand for what we know. This is something I believe. This is what I stand for. This is what you come into the light of it.
So people should not cower from taking a stance regardless of other people's opinions.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
I think that's fair enough. I think I put you on the spot there, but I think you handled quite well. So, dear listeners, we've come to the end of this session. Basically, the point of this topic was just to create a little bit of awareness, you know, for Christians and to everybody listening, that we are in a relative world currently today where, you know, there are no absolutes. And different things, different measures, good or bad, are weighed by people's perspectives, people's understanding, and people's light on a particular matter, people's experiences, you know, historical context and whatnot. So the point of this podcast today is to educate you that regardless, take a stand. Do not cower from your stand. Like Busaya has rightly said, love the sinner, hate the sin. You don't need to bash anybody. You don't need to throw sticks and stones, you know, to enforce, because when you do that, basically doing that is just emphasizing what he said, you know, trying to pick sins, because there are little things you do too that are, there's no big sin and there's no small sin. I mean, sin is sin. So if you think people are living their lifestyles and you think that they are living it in sin or their sexuality or whatnot, you should also, like the Bible said, take out the log of wood in your eye before you take out the speck in someone else's eye. So the most important thing, or the most important message of today, is that we live in a relative world. Take a stand, you know, try to embrace people with love, with understanding, without being judgmental. And in the end, let us pray that wherever we go, we are able to embody and represent Christ fully. That is the message. And I'm so glad I got to talk about this with Busaya. I've said my last words, and I'm going to tell Busaya to say his last words in like 30 seconds.
All right, just to portray what you just said too. It's a crazy world. Just for us as believers to hold on to what the Bible says, and our truth remains the truth of the gospel, what the gospel says. So yeah, thank you for having me.
Yes, you are welcome. So guys, we have come to the end of Talk with Lois Podcast Fridays. Till I see you next time, I'm definitely going to be bringing a juicy topic and a juicy guest. So till I see you next time, it is bye for now. Bye guys.
Bye.